91.3 WLRN presents Topical Currents. Stand by, it's the Topical Currents Restaurant Roundabout with chef, author, and syndicated columnist Linda Gastneyer. Good afternoon, Joseph Cooper and Bonnie Berman. What's new in the South Florida restaurant scene? What of openings, closings, and new chefs? Three knowledgeable restaurant reviewers are on hand to give dining advice for Palm Beach, Broward, and Miami-Dade counties. Or perhaps you have favorite eateries you'd like to tout. It's easy enough to phone in with recommendations at 800-743-9576. That's 800-743-9576. Stay tuned. The Roundabout is up next after the news.
Welcome back to Thursday's Topical Currents. Bonnie Berman with Joseph Cooper.
We're ready for a roundabout.
We're ready. Let's all get ready for our restaurant roundabout with our resident chef, author, syndicated columnist, and friend, Linda Gastneyer. We have three renowned South Florida restaurant reviewers on hand, ready to expound on their favorite dining options. And of course, your input is welcome. You may want to note the call number. It's 800-743-9576. 800-743-9576. You can also email radio@wlrn.org. So we begin Linda's Restaurant Roundabout. Hey, Linda.
Hey, Bonnie. Hey, Joe.
Hello.
Hello. Great to be with you. This is our popular review program, and there's always a lot of restaurant news here in South Florida. There's openings, there's closings, there's chefs changing. There's a lot of restaurant gossip. We're going to hear it all today. And we have our three reviewers right in the studio with us. Jen Koretnik is the restaurant critic for Miami Magazine. Welcome, Jen.
Hi, Linda.
Great to have you with us. And Matt Meltzer. He's the Miami editor for the Thrillist Media Group. Welcome, Matt Meltzer.
Hello, Linda.
And also with us, Lainey Doss, food editor for Miami New Times. And welcome, Lainey.
Hi, Linda. Great to be here.
Great to have you all. And of course, we'd love to hear from you, our listeners. Do you have any tips, or maybe it's a restaurant treasure that you want to share with us, a mom and pop place where there's really, really great food, or maybe you have some pet peeves you'd like to tell us about? Give us a call. As Bonnie's already given out the number, it's 800-743-9576, 800-743-WLRN. We're taking the calls now. And always with us is our favorite wine guy, Fred Tasker. He's joining us by Skype. Fred writes the wine suggestions for My Dinner Minutes columns, but he also writes the wine column that you can read in Saturday's Miami Herald. And by the way, oh, wait a minute. Fred, are you with us? Fred, are you here? Well,
we lost him, it looks
we've
like.
We've lost Fred.
All right, we'll work on him.
We'll find him.
Okay, we'll find him. Maybe it's because I didn't say hello to him, do you think?
I'm here. I can hear you.
No.
Okay, all right, we've got him. All right, Fred, good. And by the way, all the restaurants mentioned today will be listed on my blog at dinnerinminutes.com. And if you miss some of the program, it's going to be archived at wlrn.org. So, as I mentioned, there's always a lot of restaurant openings and closings, but I'd just like to mention a few things. Coconut Grove seems to be exploding in restaurants. Ariette opened, that's at 3540 Main Highway. It's a very small restaurant. It's next to the Taurus Bar. It's what used to be La Bottega and Ateca there. And it's a very casual, grovey scene kind of place, and their menu is built around their wood grill. So that's one new restaurant in the Grove. Another one is called 33. I think, Matt, you've been there, haven't you?
I have been to 33. Yeah, it was very good. Very good. Fresh ceviche. I'm not even a huge seafood guy, and I enjoyed everything I had there.
Right, and it was where the old Bombay Darbar used to be. It's on, it's on McFarland. No.
Commodore Plaza.
Commodore Plaza, right. And it's called 33 because it's in the zip code 33133. It's also the chef's favorite numbers, apparently. But it's Peruvian-based food.
All right.
And Michael Schwartz has his restaurant open at Harry's Pizza in the Grove. One more addition is Palmiera's Beach Club at Grove Isle. And that's really a beautiful spot. It's waterfront dining. And the concept was created by Chef Alfredo Alvarez. He's formerly of Sea Spice. So they also have a relaxed outside pool beach area for casual bites.
So Linda, is the same restaurant that was always there? It's just changed chefs?
It's totally new looking. They've spent so much money on it. Excuse me. It's really a beautiful spot.
It feels very European in there. I had lunch there last week, and it's very much very white. Everything is kind of whited out, and the food is very Mediterranean, and it's right on the water, so it feels very sort of south of France, that area. It's very, very cool.
And there's lots of champagne. Everything is branded. They've got Perrier Jouet, and they've got Tattinger Lounge, and they've, you know, so when you go in, you'll see all of those, like that's.
I used to love it there.
Actually, Fred would love it. Fred would go in and be.
Sounds like I would.
Yes, Fred, you would.
And I understand there's more restaurants coming there, and so we'll have to wait and see what's going on. But I'd like to also give one shout out to a Pinecrest staple. It's been there. I'm not sure I'm pronouncing it. It's Ricon Espanol restaurant, and it's in the Dadeland Plaza, in Pinecrest. And I have to say that I had one of the best paellas I've had. It was wonderful flavor. The fish was not overcooked. I really enjoyed that. So let's talk more with some of our reviewers here. Matt Meltzer, there's so much going on Brickell. I mean, how many restaurants have opened up there?
Oh, you know, you lose count after a while. And some of them they don't even publicize that they're open yet. Just recently, I mean, El Tucan opened up a while ago. And then that obviously sort of a big nightlife spot. But the food there is very good. I've never seen anyone eating there, but I ate there recently. And if you want to actually eat while you're watching the Crazy Cuban show, that place is great. Chinese place called Da Tang opened up at the Four Ambassadors, and I have a soft spot for that building, but I'm not quite sure what their deal is. It was one of the more expensive menus I've seen of Chinese food, and they're reworking it now to sort of make it a more approachable menu.
It's called Da Tang?
DA TANG, unique cuisine.
Yeah.
I saw the menu, and I said, uniquely expensive. It blew my mind how much it was.
But, yeah, even just the tea. I looked at the tea service. Yeah. I was like, wow, that looks like great tea.
I asked him, I said, what currency is the menu in? Because there's no way this is dollars.
Well, it's actually owned by a Chinese businessman. And the reason why he opened this restaurant is because he also is into real estate and he's a doctor. And he was trying to fly in Chinese investors at condos in Brickell. And he couldn't find a restaurant to entertain them at that was comfortable enough with cuisine that they would be familiar with enough. I guess Miami doesn't have really true unique Chinese restaurants that are upscale. So he opened up this restaurant really to entertain his clients and foreseeing that a lot of Chinese people would start buying into Brickell.
He better be planning on flying in a lot of people.
Keep the restaurant going. Well, it sounds like he can.
They're retooling. They said they're retooling the menu a little bit.
Although I happen to love Chinese cuisine, so I'm happy.
Was the food good? Was it worth the price?
We'll let you know when we can afford to go there.
Exactly.
I mean, it's interesting. I mean, the menu is based on the Tang Dynasty, so these are recipes that are like thousands of years old that they're trying to tailor, and I think they're still working on it to Miami sensibilities.
So best to wait a little bit and see what happens there.
Supposed to have a lot of places. And finally, the big hitter in Brickell is Komodo. That's Dave Grutman's place, the guy behind Liv, and he's sort of the face of the investors in that restaurant. And that's a very sceney place. I get caught in the traffic behind the Bugattis and the Lamborghinis now trying to get back to my building because
and that's
all
also
lined up
yeah,
there.
That's also not inexpensive.
No, but the food there is very, very good.
And it's a Chatarro. It's a Chatarro concept.
Yeah.
So it's if you're the China Grill kind of person from the 80s, you will recognize that.
So Chatarro owns the China Grill.
Right.
China Grill there for years. There was that sign that said China Grill, and now
you will recognize some of those elements still.
Bird's
Nest. If you enjoy that, and that Bird's Nest was great.
Yeah, that was cool.
I liked it. But it's a fun place.
It was. No, I thought it was very good and expensive, but what you'd expect to pay.
Yeah, well, like the prices in Miami, we have to admit, they're going up.
Oh, yeah.
And
now, I want to understand something. Why are the prices here as much or more than New York City?
Because we're willing to pay it.
I mean, they don't have the same taxes they have to pay. They don't have the same real estate costs. It just amazes me that it's so expensive.
I mean, there are two reasons. One, if you talk to a restaurateur, they will tell you the real estate, and it's true. Real estate is going up and up and up. But also, it's a lot of our growing season is long, but there are so many things that we really still have to import here. I mean, we have lovely produce in Central Florida. We have some cattle, some pork, but really a lot of things have to be shipped in, and it gets pricey. Up in the Northeast, I mean, you've got, you know, Amish country, you've got New England, the sourcing, and even from Europe, sourcing from Europe is quicker and cheaper.
Well, that is a point, but I think that, you know, in the winter they don't have that up in the Northeast. Well, anyway, it's a question. It's simply a question.
I mean, those are the answers that you get. Yeah, and it's right. Also, you know, also what the market will bear.
Yeah, we're willing to pay it. If we stopped paying it, they would lower the prices.
Well, it's not so much us that are paying it. It's the people that come here and visit that are paying it. And we have so many seasonal residents here. Even in Brickell, there is, you know, half those condos are people in South America that come for a week to go shopping.
Right.
And you
know, it's true. And your off time, do you go to those places?
No.
And, no, of course not.
I go to Chicken
for a hamburger.
Kitchen
right.
Right, yeah.
Okay. On that note, do we have time for one call?
Sure.
Yeah. Line one. Heather and Davey, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hi. Have you got a restaurant for us?
I have a restaurant for you. It is called J72 Chef's Cafe. It is in Davie, right off the Davie Road and 595, across from Broward College.
So what's it called again? J's?
J, like the letter J, 72 Chef's Cafe. And what I really love about it, if there's something that's not on the menu that you like, they will make it for you.
Well, that's interesting. Do any of you here know about this one, Jay's?
No. Sounds like my mother's kitchen. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. Heather, thank you very much for that call.
All right. So come on by.
Okay.
Bye.
Okay. We're going to go for a break now. I'm Linda Gassenheimer. We're talking about South Florida restaurants with Matt Meltzer, Jen Koretnik, and Lainey Doss. We'll take a short break, and we'll be back with more. We're back. I'm Linda Gassenheimer, and it's our Restaurant Roundabout program. We've been talking about the South Florida restaurant scene, and giving us the latest news in the studio is Jen Koretnik. She's the restaurant critic for Miami Magazine. Matt Meltzer, he's the Miami editor for the Thrillist Media Group. And Lainey Doss, she's the food editor for Miami New Times. And you, our listeners, are giving us information, your tips, your treasures, what you found. Give us a call. That's 800-743-9576, 800-743-WLRN. And do we have we had any emails yet, Bonnie?
No, it's radio@WLRN.org.
Okay, so give us a call. We want to hear your treasures or maybe your pet peeves. Jen Koretnik, tell us, what have you found new on the restaurant scene?
Well, one of my favorite chefs just opened up her second restaurant in Miami. That would be Zest. Cindy Hudson and Delia Shirley. Speaking of Brickell, they're in the downtown area now. So I believe they're open to the public as of this week. They did their friends and family run.
Is that a casual restaurant? I mean, they own Ortonique.
Well, it's sort of a hybrid model, like Jean George and Market and the Matador Room at Edition. So they have their dining room, and then they have their casual area and the service takeout kind of thing. So they'll have
a little of everything. Okay.
And
great.
You know, Jeff McGinnis is back in town. He has Sarsaparilla Kitchen, and that was a little bit of a kind of a scandal at the South Beach Wine and Food Festival when he confronted his former employer. And I think that's been making the rounds of the of
excuse
the
me,
tip
wait
sheets.
A minute. We need this whole story.
Yeah, what's the scandal?
Well, scandal is that they the gossip was that they parted on good terms when he was working at John Kunkel's restaurants. But it seems that maybe they did not. So they did get into a fight on Friday evening during South Beach Wine and Food Festival.
You don't mean physical?
Physical.
Yeah, oh yeah. No, it was like...
Physical.
Actual physical.
So sad. I would have enjoyed watching that.
Yeah, well, you know, the chef world and the restaurant world, we're just not that type of people usually, so that would have been quite a show.
I don't know, you get a bunch of guys and a bunch of egos, I feel like that kind of thing.
And a bunch of liquor, sure.
Oh, yeah, and that too.
Yeah, throw in the liquor, throw in the alcohol.
So which event was this?
I mean, it was Thursday. I was actually there. I didn't see it. I was there. It was the chef's after party, and there was no punches were thrown or anything.
No, but it could have been very, it was threatening to be physical. But, you know, John Kunkel has...
Well, he's the one that has the Yardbird. Is that the
Yardbird?
List? Yardbird, and
but he also has martial arts training. So I would not take him on.
Isn't he the one we had?
That's
on?
Not the name of a restaurant.
No, martial
Linda,
arts training
didn't we
is
have
just
him on?
Something.
Yes. Doesn't he have something like 50 eggs or something?
50 it was eggs called? Is the restaurant
50
group.
50 eggs.
Yeah, that's his group.
They own swine. They own spring chicken and Kong when it was open. Yeah. So they have a lot of concepts.
Start and I'm always careful about taking on anybody that has martial arts training.
All right, let's go to the phones. I think that'd be a good idea. Line two, Elaine in Hollywood. Hi, you're on the air.
Yeah. Hi.
You have a restaurant for us?
Yeah, the Big Fat Greek Restaurant.
The Big Fat Greek Restaurant?
Greek restaurant. It's fabulous. It's fresh. They make homemade hummus. The bread is homemade.
Where is it, Elaine?
It's on Griffin Road, between 441 and 95. It's family-owned and operated.
Okay, sounds
and
good.
And the prices are really reasonable. It's... I've been eating there probably about 15 years. They have a belly dancer. It's just this lovely family-run place that'll make you whatever you want, and the food is just wonderful and fresh. They have a bar. It's just
okay,
a really great
place
to go.
Sounds good. We can have our hummus and our belly dancer all in one go.
Yeah. I know. It's great.
Okay. Thank you for your call, Elaine.
Sure. Last week, we just did a top 10 Greek restaurants, and Big Fat Greek Restaurant was on the list, and it was the only one on the list that was out of Miami-Dade. It was that good that we put it in our Miami list.
We have a recommendation for another Greek restaurant.
Go
this
ahead.
Is in Hollywood. Restaurant still fills its recently enlarged interior. Food is fresh, service is great, no loud music. The Greek Joint in downtown Hollywood. Kebabs, pitas, vegetarian, vegan, perfect spot for dinner after a film at Cinema Paradiso.
Well, it's called the Greek Joint?
The Greek Joint.
And that's interesting that she's mentioned no loud music, because a few weeks ago we had a whole program on loud noise in restaurants, and I noticed that some reviews now are putting the noise level. And any of your reviews, do you put this, Lainey?
Yeah. I mean, it's not open now, but 1826 was a beautiful restaurant, and I went there, and I got there probably 8 o'clock early. And as the night progressed, I couldn't hear myself. And I don't understand why restaurants in Miami need to have resident DJs. Like,
because, there's DJ? Oil. Jiffy Lube has a resident DJ here. That's just what we do. I'm surprised you don't have one here, Linda.
Yeah, we need some background music.
Okay, you want to sign up, Matt? my question was, are you putting noise levels as part of the review in a paper or...
I mean, I wrote about it when I wrote about the restaurant because
but
it really
general?
Affected my dining. No, I think if it affects
good to
your
have
dining.
A five number scale or something like that.
Or decibel
an
scale.
Add-on.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've seen that being done and I like it.
They could give you a DB.
So you have a choice. You
we
can
don't
make
do
a decision.
It, but I think it's a great idea because people are sensitive to noise. If you're sensitive to the chewing that you hear people do, that's a thing that has been going around. It's gone viral. Are you sensitive to people chewing? I mean, think about how sensitive you'd be to this loud booming music all the time. So I think it's a great idea. But we don't do it yet.
Well, it's not always the music though. Sometimes it's the setup, like Gigi, for instance.
Yes.
I've gone there and been the only person in the restaurant and it's still loud.
Sure.
So
well they deliberately
they
make those
it,
amplification ceilings so it sounds like there's buzz in the room, even if there's a very small crowd.
Okay, well, let's go back. We've got a lot of phone calls coming in, so let's try to get to some of them. Line three. Three, it's Floor in Miami. Hi, you're on the air. Hello?
Hi, for Floor?
Yep, Floor, you're on the air.
Hi, I want to recommend my new favorite Thai place. It's near Little Havana on Southwest 8th Street, 17th Avenue. It's called Lung Yai Thai, L-U-N-G-Y-A-I, Thai food. It's a tiny hole in the wall, and I've been to Thailand, and probably the most authentic Thai food I've had around.
All right. What price level is it?
Very reasonable. They technically bill themselves as like a tapas place because the portions are a little bit smaller than you get in the regular Thai restaurants with a family style. So they range from like $8 to $10 to $12 a plate. Very reasonable. My favorite dish is they have the best green papaya salad I've had in my life. It's delicious.
Sounds good. All right. Thank you for your call, Flora. Thank you. By the way, just to remind everyone that all the restaurants mentioned here will be up on my blog at dinnerinminutes.com. And then you can, if you want to listen to the whole show again. It's
also, we have a lot of callers, so jump right in with your selection.
You don't Joe, why should you go
need,
right ahead?
You don't need salutations or
whatever
anything.
She wants.
No
she wants
greetings
to get
and salutations for Joe.
Okay, line one, Benjamin. Benjamin in Miami. How are you on the air?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it.
Okay, great.
Hey, Matt, I'm a big fan of yours. You and I met a while back. I was the executive sous chef over at Chicani. I haven't seen you since. I wanted to make a quick recommendation. I wanted to give a shout-out to the restaurant I'm at now, and I'm at Sea Spice, and I heard you guys mention it before. Alfredo being the former executive chef, he actually was a former executive chef of Sea Salt and Pepper, and the reason why I said that is because we changed quite a bit.
So you're talking about...
We want a recommendation or something. Please don't call up and promote your restaurants, our callers.
But anyway, Sea Spice...
This is for listeners.
Did you have another restaurant you'd like to talk about, Benjamin?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you guys have mentioned a ton of great restaurants, and it's talking about Thai cuisine, Cake Thai is one of my favorites.
How do you spell it? Sorry, what kind?
Cake Thai. C-A-K-E-T-H-A-I. Another one of my favorite restaurants is Altar. I ate at recently. Brad Kilgore is doing a great job over there.
That was kind of the consensus pick for best new restaurant of the year last year was
yeah.
Altar.
Yeah, he
pretty much
was voted
pick.
For James Beard, and
yeah,
he
very
deserves
well
it, you know?
Yep, yeah. And they just opened their outdoor bar, so... We should all go there for a drink afterwards, I think.
Highly recommend that place.
Okay, well, thank you for the kind words. I appreciate that. It's always nice to hear that people enjoy what we do. So thank you. It's very nice.
Absolutely.
Okay. Thanks for your call, Benjamin. And let's go to line five. Is it Santi? Is that Santi in Homestead?
Yes, that's correct.
Santi, hi. You're on the air.
Yeah, I wanted to recommend a little place that we go to a lot. Called White Lion Cafe, and they're just off of downtown Homestead. It's a real American joint, but it's kind of like a Cheers, you know? Everyone gets to know your name after a while. It's good American food, meatloaf, fried chicken, steak, baked potato, but they make these cakes that are like to die for. Old style, like four-layer coconut cream cake and chocolate peanut butter cake, and there's usually like 10 or 12 cakes on the menu. Sometimes I go just for the cake alone, but it's a really great place, and the ladies that work there really just make it a comfortable atmosphere.
Sounds good to me. Would you like some meatloaf, Joe?
Oh, yes, always.
always.
Okay. No one is passing judgment on going just for cake alone, by the way.
Absolutely not.
We do that all the time.
Trust me, I'm a big advocate of cake. It's really, really good cake.
Anti-cake? You don't really hear that.
Yeah, no, yeah. Never.
No. Thanks for your call. Art in Miami. Hi, you're on the air, Art.
Yes, hello. Yeah, I've been on the show before. I run some of the farmers markets around town. And I wanted to have a pet peeve about restaurants. To me, a local food movement is something that's really hyped a lot. And a lot of restaurants are saying that they're farm to table, that they're using local produce. And really, I see very little of that actually happening. And I think people really need to, if using local ingredients is important to them, they really need to question all the restaurants that say they're using local stuff to really find out if they are or not, or just advertising that they are.
Well, how do you suggest they do that? Just ask directly the servers or ask for the chef or what?
Yeah, the servers, the servers should know. And if they don't, they'll ask the chef. I've done that at a couple places. And, you know, some places are really great. Harry's Pizza, they know where they're getting their stuff. They work with local farms, a lot of the Michael's Genuine restaurants. Alter certainly is also great, Vagabond. Just asking and really letting people know that they want more than a name up on a board, but they want an actual relationship with the local agricultural economy.
Well, we've had, Art, you must be aware that this year posed a real challenge to local chefs who really want to stay local because of the rains and because of the Asian fly concerns that affected a lot of farms in Homestead and the Redland. And I know a lot of chefs who this year really wanted to stay local, and it was a big challenge for them. And they had to go up to Central Florida, and they had to go north. What do you consider local? Like, just within...
Okay.
That's the question.
That's the question.
What do you consider local?
I mean, unless your restaurant's on a farm, it's not farm to table. It's, you know, got to be transported somehow.
Right. Okay.
Well, yeah, there's always going to be a footprint.
Right. Well, we'll come back to that, but we need to take a break now. I'm Linda Gassenheimer. We're talking about South Florida restaurants with Matt Meltzer, Jen Koretnik, and Lainey Doss. We'll take a short break, and we'll be back with more. And we're back. I'm Linda Gassenheimer, and it's our Restaurant Roundabout program. We've been talking about South Florida restaurants, giving us the latest news, including all the gossip. we were laughing because there was a lot of it today. Is Jen Koretnik. She's the restaurant critic for Miami Magazine. Matt Meltzer, he's the Miami editor for the Thrillist Media Group. And Lainey Doss, she's the food editor for Miami New Times. And you, our listeners, you've been giving us wonderful tips talking about the treasures that you've found. And our number is 800-743-9576, 800-743-WLRN. And Bonnie, you have some emails there.
We have tons of emails, but this one speaks, I was going to ask you, what happened to the amazing City Hall restaurant?
Oh.
Supposedly they lost their lease.
Yeah.
My favorite restaurant. Will they be opening again elsewhere?
We hope so.
Do we know
that
where?
Was so sad. I mean, no.
Steve Haas isn't going to not do anything, right?
No, I spoke to him, and he said that the rent just got out of control, and he was very sad about it. I think it came sudden.
Wow.
I think that he really wasn't prepared for that to happen.
Well, that's very close to the one on 24th, then.
And it was, you know, just that neighborhood is changing and developers are coming in and they're buying these small buildings.
It's this neighborhood.
It's yeah.
Right here.
Yeah,
it's
right
where
here.
The station is, yes.
Yeah. And there's another one, the building that has S&S Diner.
Yes.
And
don't tell me they're going to close S&S Diner.
Well, I call them and they have no intention of closing, but there is a developer, I think an Israeli developer with an office in New York that bought a whole parcel of a couple of blocks there, and nobody knows what he's going to do with it. It's not immediate, it's not imminent, but the changing face of Miami.
Okay, do you have another one?
Okay, I'll just do one more. Lilo's, Lexi says Lilo's on Atlantic Avenue. Excellent lobster roll, chipotle mahi tacos, owned by a young woman who makes you feel so welcome you don't know it. Lilo's or Lilo's on Atlantic Avenue.
In Delray.
Sounds like Delray.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, but lobster rolls, I'm willing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sounds good.
L I L O.
All right. Let's go to line three. Hi, Gabriel. You're on the air. Gabriel and Coral Gables.
Hey, hi. Yes, I was actually calling. There's a restaurant in Hialeah. It's a Cuban restaurant. Surprise. It's called...
you don't say.
Paraíso Tropical.
What was it called again?
Paraíso Tropical.
Okay.
It's Tropical Paradise would be like the translation.
Right, oh, got it.
Small restaurant. The owner is Manny. It's a great guy. Very traditional, fresh, authentic Cuban cuisine that is not overpriced. Very, very good. I highly recommend it. It's on West 16th Street in Hialeah.
Okay, well, thank you for your call.
Well, if you want to talk Hialeah Cuban restaurants, the best one I found is Molina's on Lejeune Road. It's sort of the Joe Stone Crab of Cuban food. It's not salty. All the other Cuban restaurants I go to, it seems to be salty, and this one is not that way, and it's just really impeccable food and service. Molina's on Lejeune
Road.
It
must be good because Joe really doesn't normally
talk
chime
about
in.
A restaurant.
Yes, about the restaurant.
Yeah, I really ought to try. We took some out-of-towners there who never had any Cuban cuisine, and boy, they loved it.
Hmm. Okay. All right, well, let's go to line six.
Okay.
Mark in Miami. Hi, Mark. You're on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking the call. There's a Peruvian restaurant, a tiny little Peruvian restaurant on like Northwest 20th Street and 22nd Court. It's called My Ranch in Spanish. And they have a great green spaghetti. My daughter, who doesn't really like to eat anything, loves me taking her to that place. And then I have a quick question. What Peruvian restaurants do you guys know of that you would recommend? Thanks for taking the call.
Thank you.
Well, oh, wow. 33 in the Grove, I would definitely put at the top of the new restaurants that are Peruvian. That's great. I mean, Lamar, but that's expensive, but that's probably the best one.
Coya does a nice guy. C-O-Y-A.
Yeah, Coya is very good.
Very good.
It's
again,
expensive,
it's
though.
Again, it's
expensive. Did we have them on?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, there are 250 Peruvian restaurants in the city. we've had a Peruvian explosion. So
there may be more Peruvian restaurants here than in Peru, actually.
Yeah, there may be. So, you know, if you want quick ceviche, you can go to My Ceviche, and there's ceviche everything all of a sudden. We even have a Nikkei restaurant coming, like, it's right around the corner from here, actually. So you've got all of these little tiny ones ranging up from the very inexpensive to the really expensive high cuisine kind of Peruvian places. They seem to be on every corner now.
Mm-hmm.
It's great if you love fresh seafood, and I'm all for it. But I do seem to see like a plethora of them all of a sudden.
Right. and they really need to be good. The food needs to be really fresh if they're going to be doing this.
You can get sick. It's
yes.
True.
Right. So it needs to be good food.
The Ceviche 105 is really good, too. I love that.
Yeah, it is. Didn't they open up another one?
There's one in the beach, and there's one downtown.
Right.
That's what
seems to happen, too, is they get, you know, they open one location, they get successful, mm-hmm. so then they open another one, and then another
one.
Well,
and they're affordable, too. I mean, even for those areas, you can go there and get a really nice ceviche for, I mean, I don't know how, I remember how much it was, but, you know, $10, $12, it's not a crazy amount of money. So I think that's part of why it's so popular. And again, I'm not a big seafood fan, and I will go there voluntarily, so.
But it's the way Miami should eat, too.
Oh, yeah.
Light, bright food, and we are on the ocean, and, you know, that's when I think of South Florida, that's the food that I think. It's not heavy, deep-fried food, which was a trend that we're trying to get out of, I think.
Okay. Did you want to, we have some phone calls as well, but go ahead.
This is I think it's a new one because I get a lot of stuff about it. Juniper. It's in Hallandale Beach, beautifully appointed, contemporary Mediterranean food, ambiance, Sunday brunch, happy hour nightly, clam bake night, Tuesday, live music. It's on the Intracoastal on the Hemisphere's condo property. So,
do you know Juniper?
I think it's called Juniper on the Bay is, I believe, the name.
Now, a lot of these, when they're in the condos, it's sometimes really hard to find them. But, you know, if they're usually doing a Sunday brunch, people will find them sooner or later.
Yeah,
and
right.
Just follow the scent of the Bloody Mary.
And if that caller is in Hallandale, she might be interested in knowing, or he, the person who sent that email, that there's a rumor that Jeffrey Zakarian from Chopped is opening up a restaurant at the Diplomat Hotel.
Well, he did open one here before. And
yeah,
he
opened Tudor House. The food was great. The location, I think, was just wrong for the concept right off of Ocean Drive.
Well, he's one of the top chefs like Alex Guarnaschelli. Who they lend their name, they come down to Miami, they open up the restaurant, and then that's it, they go, they leave, and the restaurant's just okay. But they feel they can charge a lot of money from the name.
Zakarian hired a fantastic chef at Tudor House who's now successful in his own right, Jamie DeRosa. I think what you have to do if you're doing that, because you can't be in two places at the same time, and there are chefs that are very successful that lend their names, like Jose Andreas, what you have to do is you have to have your first lieutenant, your sous chef or executive chef, whatever you want to call him or her, very talented and very successful in their own right. that will and maybe give uphold them, the name. Yeah.
Well, but also maybe give them a piece of the restaurant.
Yeah.
So that they'll have their heart in it.
Yeah.
Yes, and they won't be leaving the next day.
Absolutely. There's a formula for a successful celebrity chef-driven restaurant where the celebrity chef is not there every day.
Right. Okay, let's go to line 9. It's Daniela in Miami. Hi, Daniela. You're on the air.
Hi. Thank you for taking the call.
Sure.
So my husband and I went on a date night the other night. We discovered this little tiny house on Coral Way near 17th Avenue, and it's called Casabe 305 Bistro. Their menu had tons of seafood. I know they had a rack of lamb, but we actually were very impressed with two things that we ordered. He ordered a seared tuna with pineapple and jasmine rice, and I had a mahi-mahi with a fennel mojito,
right.
And it was so yummy. The Venezuelan part of it, I think that we had for our appetizers, tequeños, and it had this spicy guava sauce, and honestly, I had never seen Venezuelan food elevated that way. We usually go out for breakfast for Venezuelan food, and had never really experienced anything like that.
I'm so glad to hear that it's still open, because we have had the owner chef on our program a while ago, and he just came over here with almost no money in his pocket and opened up this restaurant. And it's a little house, really. It's very charming and very nice. So thank you for your call, Daniela.
Thank you.
Okay. And let's go to line 1. Michelle in Weston. Hello, Michelle. You're on the air.
Hello, good afternoon. I would like to drop my suggestion and run because my dog is watching me for like 20 minutes out the window. I just found this wonderful little place called Clovermint Cafe and Market, and it's a vegan restaurant over on Griffin Road. Everything superior.
Okay, well, go get your dog. It's Clover, did you say Clovermint?
Clovermint Cafe, and when I tell you it's the total package, the staff, charming. The atmosphere, beautiful. Noise level, perfect. And the food is the best vegan food I've ever had. And you can take the biggest meat eater there, and they will walk out satisfied.
Right.
That's a big challenge.
Yeah.
That's a big. It's a challenge.
Looks like Matt is going to take that challenge.
Well, we'll see. Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, time for one more call.
Okay.
All right, line 2. Gail in Boca Raton. Hi, you're on the air. Hi, Gail. You're on the air. We just have a minute here.
Okay,
go ahead.
Okay, good. I just wanted to recommend Bogart's, which is upstairs at the Cinemark movie complex. I'm kind of making a distinction between a chef and a cook. It feels as if that kitchen has harkened back to the old days of very high quality, very sort of traditional basic food. And the perk in this whole enterprise is that you can take your wonderful meal into the upstairs movie theater. So you're kind of, it's almost satisfying every aspect of pleasure, watching a movie, eating a lovely meal. The prices are fair. They have a very...
Okay, so Gail, tell us, it's in Boca Raton?
It is in Boca Raton.
Okay.
It's the
Great.
Cinemark movie complex, and the name of the restaurant, which is upstairs, is called Bogart's. It's run by Bert Rappaport as one of his, the Rappaport Restaurant Group. They also own Henry's and a bunch of other very, very good restaurants.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Gail. I'm sorry. We have to go to a break now, but we appreciate that information.
You're so welcome.
Thanks.
Bye.
Well, I'm Linda Gassenheimer. We're talking about our South Florida restaurants with Matt Meltzer, Jen Koretnik, Lainey Doss, and we'll take a short break and be back with more. And we're back. I'm Linda Gassenheimer, and it's our Restaurant Roundabout program. We've been talking about the South Florida restaurant scene. Giving us the latest news is Jen Koretnik. She's the restaurant critic for Miami Magazine. Matt Meltzer, he's the Miami editor for the Thrillist Media Group. And Lainey Doss, she's the food editor for Miami New Times. And you, our listeners, have been giving us some wonderful, interesting tips. And so that sounds great. But right now, it's dinner in minutes time. And for those nights when you're not going out to a restaurant. Now, I picked this one because it's... I was asked by a friend, why aren't there more Filipino restaurants here? So I decided to create this Filipino chicken adobo. Now, the dish cooks in vinegar sauce over low heat for a very, very long time. Well, that wasn't going to meet my dinner in minutes. So I have the shortened version. It has the flavors, but it doesn't have the hours. So I used boneless chicken legs, boneless skinless chicken legs, some onion, some vinegar, some soy sauce, some honey, some garlic, and you put that all in a saucepan. And here's a tip. Use a small saucepan so that the sauce will cover the ingredients. Excuse me. And then you simmer that for about 10 minutes. Then I take the chicken out and I reduce the sauce so it gets nice and thick. And I brown the chicken in a skillet so it gets nice color. And I serve the sauce on top. Very simple. And the side dish is even easier because I use microwavable rice. I microwave it and then I add some diced red bell pepper. And you can even buy the red bell pepper already diced for you in the supermarket. So you've got maybe 15, 20 minute meal and it has Filipino flavors. So that complete recipe, excuse me, and a photo, it's at dinnerinminutes.com. And please follow me on Twitter. That's at L. Gassenheimer. And also, all of the restaurants we've been mentioning today, they're also going to be on that website, dinnerinminutes.com. Fred Tasker, what are we drinking?
Linda, when I was about 10 or 12, my dad played a dirty trick on me, although I can see now that it was probably for my own good.
Is this confession time?
It is confession time.
I see.
He never drank anything, but one day I discovered a straw-covered jug of very cheap Italian Chianti in our fridge, and it was open, so it was a little suspicious. So I glanced around surreptitiously and took a sip and winced. It was pure battery acid. I didn't take another drink until college, and I'm sure that's exactly what my dad had in mind.
That's what the wine tasted like. It wasn't
that's
battery
right.
acid, because
you're
still
here. It wasn't actually battery acid.
Yeah, okay.
I didn't, well, I didn't put it in my battery. I don't know.
You can't do
anyway,
that
Anyway, it turns
days.
Out that every generation has its own entry-level wine, a coming-of-age ritual, usually with something sweet. I think some of you are old enough to remember some of these. In the 70s, it was Boone's Farm Strawberry Hill Wine. Remember that?
Oh, yeah. Boone's Farm. Yeah.
And later it was White Zinfandel, and more recently it's been Moscato and then Prosecco. Now beginners start with these, and then they later graduate to real higher quality dry wines. Now it's the turn of the millennial generation, people aged 21 to 34, and they may be a little more sophisticated than we were. Forbes magazine says this group is entering the drinking age with a blended red wine that are a little bit sweet. Sometimes pretty good and a little pricey, maybe in the $10 or $15 range. And they may know what they're doing. Single grape red wines like Cabernet Sauvignon can seem tannic and bitter to a beginner. But when you blend in some Merlot or Australian Shiraz or Zinfandel, you get a kinder, gentler wine that can be quite pleasant. And wine producers are hip to this. Recently, Adler Fells Winery in California launched a wine called Totally Random Sweet Red.
That's the blending. Name of the wine?
That's the name of the wine. Good name, I think. They blend
Zinfandel,
Merlot,
and other
wines.
You've got some people here with their faces kind of not wondering about that name, but go ahead, Fred.
Well, you have to appeal to the young kids, you know, not the young, the 21-something sort
okay.
of thing. That's
right.
That's about an $8 wine. In fact, some of these wines are not just for beginners, because I've noticed that lately every time I write about a red wine with a little sweetness, I get emails from wine fans of all ages thanking me for giving them the intellectual cover to drink not what they're supposed to drink, but what they really like.
Sounding good. Sounds great. So we're back to, thank you, Fred. We're back to some suggestions from restaurant people. Do you have anything over there?
Justin recommends Strada in Coconut Grove, amazing Italian cuisine, impeccable service. And another ramen restaurant is Momi, Jeffrey Chen, the owner. That's Barry from Miami, M-O-M-I.
And where is that? It's in Miami, Momi?
It's in Brickell, yeah.
It's in Brickell?
Down on 11th Street, 12th Street, I think.
Okay. We have line three, April in Plantation. Hello, April. You're on the air.
Hi. Thanks so much for taking the call. It's a pleasure
sure.
to speak with you.
Sure.
There's a great Thai restaurant in Plantation, Florida, which is just a little west of Fort Lauderdale, called Thai Mio. It's family-owned. Everything's authentic. Prices are super reasonable. And I literally have lunch there probably once or twice a week because it's so good, and they have so many different things on their menu. So I was listening to you, and I wanted to call and give everybody that information.
Well, thank you very much for it. Okay, we have one more line four. Okay, Debbie, thank you so much. You're holding. You've been holding for a while. Debbie in Davie, you're on the air.
Hi there. I just wanted to add to the lady that called in about J72. We've been there a few times. two very hands-on chefs that make everything from scratch, including like ponzu sauce. And they also do, since you were talking about ceviche, they have award-winning ceviche in three different sauces, an original, a pesto, a passion fruit sauce. They even sell at farmers markets.
So this was J72.
And they're in a not great location, and you know it's great when you have really authentic chefs that care about their food, that are so passionate, and you don't want them to fail. So you know, if everyone could just, if they're looking for something interesting, everything on the menu, their ceviche, their tuna tartare.
Okay, well that's
great.
All right, so you're making us really hungry now. So thank you for your call, Debbie.
Authentic Chinese food. We always go to Silver Pond in Fort Lauderdale.
Oh, this is another one. It's called Silver Pond?
Yes. It's on 441 south of Commercial Boulevard. Cantonese style, you know, Hong Kong style. Very authentic. Mostly Chinese people. We always go there for dinner and take large groups so we can try a lot of.
Okay, well.
And they have an American menu and Chinese menu, and don't order.
Okay.
It sounds really good, Debbie. I'm sorry, but we're running out of time, so we need to.
Silver Pond is very good. I've been there many times.
Yes, okay, sounds great. Thank you for your call, Debbie. Just a minute or so left. Do you want to have any.
You know what? I'd really like to talk about, instead of just a specific restaurant, a neighborhood that I feel is really up and coming, and it happens to be my neighborhood, and I'm very proud of it. It's the Upper East Side Mimo District.
What? Why do people call it the Upper East Side? It's not New York. It drives me absolutely crazy.
Well, I'm from New York, so I'm going to call it the Upper East Side.
It's the east side of Miami. It makes me that angry.
Yes,
no.
I'm going to call it the Upper East Side.
You know what? You and me get in a fist fight after this is over. Okay.
I mean, there are some great restaurants that are there. Pinch on Biscayne Boulevard in the 80s.
I was going to talk about Pinch.
And let's hear it for the Anderson, which is opening March 7th.
Ah,
I am
yay,
clapping.
The Anderson.
It's the Craft Broken Cocktails. Shaker guys, yes. Gabe Orta and Elad Zvi are coming to the mainland, which means that I don't have to take a $15 Uber one way to have a good cocktail. Very, and very.
No, we can spend that $15 on a cocktail.
Yes.
Okay.
It's the old Magnum space.
I'm going to have to now cut you off.
Great.
That was the piano.
Yes. We're out of time.
Now call the Anderson. Everybody, don't go on March 7th because we're going.
Okay.
We want that whole space to ourselves.
Great. Well, it's been a fun packed day. Thank you for joining us. I'm for the great information. Matt Meltzer, Miami editor for the Thrillist Media Group. Thank you.
Thank you, Linda.
And Jen Koretnik. She's the restaurant critic for Miami Magazine.
Thank you, Linda.
And Lainey Daw, she's the food editor for Miami New Times. And all the restaurants mentioned will be listed on my blog at dinnerinminutes.com. Fred Tasker, great advice, as always.
Always a pleasure.
And Joe Cooper, Bonnie Berman, great talking with you.
Great, thanks.
And Joe, Lainey, you had a great recommendation today.
Oh, thank
yes.
you.
Impressive. Next week, we'll be talking with supermarket guru Phil Lempert about what does the organic label really mean. I'm Linda Gassenheimer. Join me then.
And we hope you enjoyed today's roundabout and that you'll enjoy a new dining experience. Our lead producer, Richard Ive, technical direction from online producer Paul Leary. Polly Landis is associate producer. Extra thanks to Paul today.
Yes, he did a great job of making everybody able to be heard. That's true, he does, but today was extraordinary.
We have free audio archives at our website, WLRN.org, and more links and photos at the Topical Currents Facebook page. Tomorrow at 1, it's the Science Friday program. And Monday, we return with an astounding story with Guy Lawson, author of Arms and the Dudes, how three stoners from Miami Beach became the most unlikely gun runners in history. Joseph Cooper, Bonnie Berman, thanks for listening. Here and Now is next from NPR News.